Do you think zombie Donald Duck wears pants?
No, if he doesn't wear pants when he's regular, he doesn't put them on when he's a zombie.
Okay. That's where this episode is right now. Okay.
Remind me what the name of the show is again. I'm losing my mind.
It's Between Two Ferns. No, it's The First Podcast.
Okay. Sorry, I'm a jerk. Yeah.
Clearly. No.
I mean, at least you didn't forget our names.
Today we have a special guest, Kaylee Bray of Damsels Dice and Everything Nice. Can you tell the audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So I'm just an actor in Los Angeles and a semi-professional gamer. But for Damsels Dice and Everything Nice, I'm the creator, the executive producer, the writer, and I also play the game master, Belle.
And you mentioned that you're a mostly professional gamer. What does that actually mean?
I always say semi-professional because I'm paid to play Dungeons & Dragons sometimes, but also I play a lot of Dungeons & Dragons. That's just how I spend most of my time.
How does that work? You get paid sometimes to play Dungeons and Dragons. Do people, like, they text you and they're like, come on, play Dungeons and Dragons. And you're like, oh, I'm really not free. And they're like, come on, we'll pay you.
It's more about the live streams. So I will appear on different shows. I've been a guest on the Sirens of the Realm show for Dungeons and Dragons. I work with Maze Arcana sometimes on some of their shows.
That's a good opportunity. I mean, especially if you're going to be doing it for fun anyway, you might as well get paid to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you might as well never do it for fun. Just be a consummate professional and just have no life.
From a business perspective, Lars is right. You should never play it for fun ever again.
Who needs fun?
I don't like what we're preaching. So the reason we were actually able to connect with you is because one of our previous guests, Game Master Richard Quiner, is apparently good friends with you, or maybe isn't. I don't know, but he apparently is in an ongoing campaign with you.
Yeah.
I was talking to him before the show, and he said that he wanted you to talk about that. So I'm kind of curious, like, what's going on with between you two with that?
I got invited to the campaign that he and a couple of our friends have been running for. I mean, it's been several years, and now I've been playing with them for several years. It's very immersive. The DM is Kelly D'Angelo, who's actually a professional dungeon master for Dungeons and Dragons on their live stream, Girl Scouts Glory. We actually just played yesterday, and it's always very epic and very hilarious for that campaign. It's a really great time. That's one of my campaigns that I do for fun.
I like how you mentioned, by the way, that the DM is like an actual professional as opposed to like Richard, who's apparently not an actual professional. He's just some like a little.
No, it's more, you know. I'm not an actual professional.
Okay. So it sounded like you were kind of stealth insulting him, but you're actually kind of.
No, I'm insult. I never stealth insult Richard. Only stealth insult me.
Oh, Richard's a good friend of the show.
I love Richard. Richard's helped me a lot.
Yeah, that's his kind of his life's goal is to help people with tabletop RPG leading and just playing in general. And
what a noble cause.
It really is.
Yeah, I would say quite a dorky, but a very noble cause indeed. And yeah, he's been a frequent guest host on the show, actually.
Good friends with another guest host that comes on sometimes, Ohan.
Mm-hmm.
We usually have them on together. Their personalities kind of mesh, like. Richard is really.
It ended up being
kind of
like Bros Night episodes where
it's
very conversational and it's not, there's no interview at all. We're just kind of chatting about really dweeby things.
Yeah, Richard he's really interesting and fun to talk to. And Ohan really counteracts that well
by being a buffoon.
By being not interesting.
Well, it's not that he's not interesting, you know, like I think my favorite moment with Ohan was the two things that really characterize Ohan's appearance on our show. One time he just flat out told us that when he's recording with us, he's either watching YouTube videos or scrolling on Facebook or like something like that. And or he's just eating when it's his turn to talk. He decided to eat
Everybody's gotta have a shtick.
His shtick is falling asleep at the end of the episode sometimes, but yeah, let's move on. Let's not talk about our show this entire time, Joe.
I just wanted to take every opportunity I could to
Bring up our show.
Talk shit on Ohan.
All right. Anyway, so kind of the main thing, I think the most prominent thing that people would know you for is a project called Damsels, Dice, and Everything Nice. And I wanted to give you a chance to kind of explain for the audience who isn't familiar kind of what you're trying to go for with that.
For sure. So it's a parody web series about popular princess characters playing a tabletop RPG. Nobody sue me. Oh, my God. So it's just all your favorite princesses coming together around the table, rolling dice and playing games and generally getting up to hijinks.
It's scripted, right? It's not like an actual like...
It is scripted, despite what every single YouTube commenter says. It is absolutely scripted. I have not decided to run a Dungeons & Dragons game for 14 people.
Well, yeah, I mean, what's weird is that, you know, like I checked out the episode and it seemed quite clear within about 3 seconds that it was quite clearly scripted. So I don't know where that comes from.
Neither do I. But that's okay. We love them anyway.
Yeah. So the scripted nature of it, though, is that kind of by design so that you can have like two levels of characters, or what was the reason behind that?
I mean, it was really just to showcase the mashup of it, to, yes, have the two levels of characters, but really just play with the chaos of these like very girly, princessy, silly characters playing a traditionally, you know, boys in their mom's basement kind of a game. I know that's not exactly what it is anymore, and it hasn't been for a really long time, but getting to play with the stereotypes of both of those things, 20 people in a room can't improv that way all the time, and doing that specific thing isn't served by doing a actual play, a live play of Dungeons and Dragons. So I really did. I wanted it to be scripted. I wanted it to be short and very quippy. And so that was seemed to be the best way to do it. It's just script it fairly fully.
Yeah. I remember, I was dating this girl back in the day who had a previous boyfriend who ran D&D campaigns at their apartment. And she told me many lengthy tales about how they would run games into like, late into the night, and she'd pass out. She'd try to be like supportive of his hobby, but like the campaigns went on forever. And I looked at your videos and I saw that the episode was, I think it was about 8 minutes or so. And I was like, oh, that's good. Because
campaign every episode. I like those. I watch those, but that's not what I want to make.
Yeah.
For sure.
Also, there's maybe some potential, at least when you condense it down like that, for people who aren't necessarily tabletop RPG fans to be like, oh, this could be interesting.
That's kind of the goal, is to make people who aren't, you know, princess fans but are Dungeons and Dragons fans to check it out, or if they're princess fans to maybe take a look at it and be like, oh.
Yeah, like Joe's a princess fan, but he's not really into D&D, so he might want to.
No, I'm interested in D&D. I've only played one or two campaigns. I don't know if I've...
Oh, really?
I think I finished one of them.
Which one?
We actually had a Star Wars D&D game that we were doing.
Oh, fun.
Have you ever played that one?
I haven't done any kind of Star Wars D&D.
It was pretty interesting. And likewise, as Lars said, I guess princesses are cool. If there's a movie out and there's a princess, I'll probably watch it. In the same likelihood as if there was a superhero movie out, it just depends on if it's good or not, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I guess. Well, I was just joking. I was making fun of
you. I know, I was playing along by giving a serious answer and actually bouncing off of it.
So, Joe, I've been kind of hogging the mic pretty extensively, as I always tend to do in the beginning. I want to toss it back to you.
Who, me?
As opposed to the other Joe? What do you mean?
Well, thanks for tossing it back to me, Lars. I've sort of been waiting for my opportunity since Lars has been hogging the mic. What got you interested in D&D and other... Is it mostly D&D that you play, or do you play other
D&D
tabletop
D&D
games?
D&D accessories?
Well? I do. I mostly play Dungeons & Dragons. I'm in another... an original like sci-fi fantasy playtest RPG on Saturday mornings. I live stream that, and that's really fun. It's my only non-D&D game. But I was invited to play a D&D game when I was 13 years old, and I just kind of never looked back.
It went well.
It went really well. I have friends from that campaign that I still consider some of my closest friends today.
Do you remember the name of your character from that campaign?
Oh, I think I do. I went through a period as an actor and being pretentious and lame. I would always name them after whatever role I was playing.
Could be like Mage the Mage.
Whatever like community theater or school play role I was playing. It was that lame.
Okay.
Oh, what was it? Oh, I think we were doing Three Sisters. So my first character was a half-elf druid named Irina. I don't remember what her last name was.
You heard it here first, folks.
Irina.
I haven't thought about Irina in a really long time.
Irina as in like a gym or like...
Yeah,
or,
like that.
Oh, okay. I was way off. Okay.
Not Irina, like the...
No.
Like a battlefield.
But then how did you kind of transition that into doing it professionally?
I was invited after my first year living in LA. I was invited to live stream a game with some friends. He wanted to kind of capitalize on the Critical Role momentum, see if he could do it himself. And so got a YouTube channel live stream group together called the Shield Maidens. And it was a group of all female players and him playing Dungeons and Dragons, and I was really one of the only people who'd ever played Dungeons and Dragons before. So he asked me to kind of be the resident experienced player, and so we played together for a little over a year, around a year, and then I was invited to join a game on Satine Phoenix's channel, Maze Arcana, and it just kept, the more I live streamed, the more I got invited to live stream, the more interested I was in live streaming, and invited to other games, so it's kind of spiraled.
Sometimes that happens. You start doing something randomly and you're really good at it, and you start networking without even trying, and I think that's a sign that you're supposed to do that thing. You're naturally...
Or that you're accidentally doing it and you fell ass backwards into it. Either way.
Yeah, either way.
as long as it keeps being fun, I don't see any reason to stop.
As long as you're having a good time.
Yeah.
You could do it till you're 96. Who knows?
There is D&D Grandma.
Maybe you'll be the first D&D player in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Who knows? Does she do rock music? Like,
maybe she just doesn't do it yet.
I'll fall into that too. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this kind of your full-time job at this point? Is this your career?
Not necessarily. I am working towards it for sure. It's how I spend most of my time. I end up paying rent through voiceover for video games. I've still got, a couple of day jobs hanging around that aren't related to acting because living in Los Angeles is expensive, but not yet. I'm working towards it. I do a lot of like stunt fighting and VO too.
You like living in LA?
Yeah, it's great. I moved from New York and never really looked back.
Oh, where in New York?
Brooklyn. I went to Juilliard, so I was living in New York
really cool.
for college and then moved to Los
Angeles.
You really
do good stuff at
Juilliard. I was in Brooklyn. I stayed in Crown Heights for I think 5 or 6 days. Is Juilliard near Crown Heights?
Juilliard is in Manhattan.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm.
That makes more sense.
It's right where the opera is, the Met and the New York City Ballet, and that weird like circular fountain.
It's pretty cool. Which do you like better, New York or L.A.?
L.A.
Why do you like L.A. better?
I just feel more at home here. There are things I miss about New York a lot. I miss the subway.
I bet you don't miss the people on the subway.
I never miss people on the subway. It's nice to be able to, if I'm going to be stuck in traffic, I can see the sky and be by myself. But things close so early in Los Angeles. It's still weird to me.
Which do you prefer, the homeless in New York or the homeless in L.A.?
Prefer?
No one has ever asked me that question before.
Exactly. It's a very weird question.
You can take a moment to think if you need to.
To be honest, I encountered, because I was New York is a walking city, I encountered more homeless people in New York. I feel like I don't really know or encounter that many homeless people in Los Angeles because I'm insulated from them.
Yeah. I'm assuming you're not doing your D&D stuff in Skid Row or anything. Like, I mean, that kind of...
Not yet. Like, who knows?
Yeah. Well, not yet.
Maybe you'll end up there.
Yeah. It'd be kind of rough, but...
Maybe you can go to Skid Row and share with them D&D.
That would be
cool.
Well,
I think they have bigger problems than that right now, Joe.
There's nothing wrong with a little escapism.
That's true.
Yeah, they're humans. That's what we learned from Shirley Rain's episode. These people
recorded an episode with someone who goes and helps the homeless in Skid Row.
She does their makeup and brings them clothes and stuff. So, yeah. She also gives them like food and anyway, any little thing you can do to help. In this case, it would be D&D bringing that to Skid Row.
My next question was going to be, oh wow, I just forgot it again. I guess my head's in the clouds today. Joe,
we were
what was
talking about
be?
The homeless people in LA. You were talking like before that. You were talking about like.
Oh yeah. Okay. Okay. I remembered. Thank you for jogging me back. We've had several voice actors on over the course of the show, and I'm kind of curious if your work includes anything that the audience might be familiar with.
They might. So I did. I am the voice of the Seventh Sister for Jedi Challenges, the new Star Wars augmented reality game.
Wow.
So you can lightsaber battle me. I sound like a robot in that game, but now you know.
Can you just say like in your best robot voice, like, hi, I am
What?
I am a robot.
I am a robot.
All right, we'll use that post editing. It'll make sense later.
Yeah.
Except we didn't. Ha ha ha, pranked you, Keely.
I also, if anyone is a fan of the Redwall series, those books by Brian Jakes, Soma Games just came out with two games inspired by the Redwall series, and I play a little Scottish mouse in The Lost Scout, and once again, my voice gets heavily processed in Escape the Gloomer, and I'm like a rat and a snake and a bunch of other villain characters. I apparently
have
a type.
Like, I am a rat, but like in a robot voice?
I am a rat in a robot voice.
That's really good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks. That's great. These are going to be great clips, Joe. Thanks for... That's wonderful.
All right, let's move on.
I think we might want to toss a hypothetical question at her.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yo, by the way, you should be asking all these... you should be answering all these questions as if your life depended on them.
Always as if your life depended on it.
I can take this super seriously. I went to a very serious college. Hit me.
It's a shame because it's not a very serious podcast, so that won't work.
It's a shame.
It is a shame, Lars.
I'm going to bust out one that we used semi-recently, but I thought it was a good one that we haven't been taking advantage of properly, I think, Joe. And it's... Okay. So let's say that the military had access to an army of 1 million trained animals. And let's say it was a never-ending army.
Oh, this is a good question.
When one of them dies, another one takes its place. So, if that was the case, which animal do you think would be the most effective? Has to be a real animal, by the way.
Oh, man.
Not a dragon.
That's disappointing.
Or a dungeon.
What if we did a spin on it and it, like, it could be any of the D&D creatures?
Well, no, because, like, not all of the audience would be familiar with what they are, unless you can give an explanation of them for the audience. You can use one of those, I guess.
I can stick to like the normie animals.
Yeah, let's ground this in reality. Normie animals. Wow.
Yeah, the animals that are able to do drugs recreationally without having a problem, like the normie animals.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what normie means, and
that's not what she's referring to. But yeah,
sure.
AA circles. I don't know if you guys are familiar.
She's talking about like dorky meme-ish circles, normies.
Oh, no. Yes.
Muggles.
Yeah.
I don't think that made me any less nerdy. Oh, well. Can they be in... Like, what about, like... I feel like ants, probably. And it's kind of...
A million
passe,
ants?
But I feel like ants would probably be the most effective.
Why?
Because they can all communicate with each other. And if they're, like, the really scary, bitey ones in the rainforest, they're already kind of an unstoppable army.
So they have to be bitey ants?
I'm the worst, because I'm trying to think of the infamous species of ant that like swarms
fire
and then like
the,
they're
oh the red fire ants or whatever the like the evil ants from hell
kind of yeah and then they can all like climb each other and make like a bridge
like a
for other ants and
are you talking about the novella Leiningen versus the ants, because that sounds like that's what you're referring to, where like this farmer gets attacked by like a bunch of ants that like build a bridge to get over water to sacrifice themselves in order to terrorize them.
But those ants actually exist. That like that's an actual like species of ant. I would Google this because I feel stupid for not knowing the actual name of them, but I know that they're there.
How would they use the, like, would they just like dump them over, like fly over like a country and just dump the ants, or what's the methodology here behind the
behind using them as a, I don't know. Well, they probably, or you could just smuggle in a few into a country. They don't, that doesn't matter. They're bugs. They're small, but they're really strong. So if you get enough of them,
it seems hard to control, but I mean, I guess it could cause a lot of devastation. It's crude, but I definitely can see where you're coming from with that. Just devastation by ants.
Is that more devastating than like a million lions? Or like,
well, I think so.
I mean, when you put it that way,
I don't mean to shit all over your answer. I'm just asking you out of curiosity.
I would 100% be much more afraid of a giant army of ants than I would a giant army of lions.
Okay.
Well, okay, but let's say that, like, in one direction, a million ants are coming for you, and then in another direction, a million lions are coming for you.
Yeah, and you have to run in one of the directions.
Regardless, I would die, so.
Maybe not. Let's say, maybe not with the ants.
Maybe. I don't know. A million ants might kind of overpower you, I guess, though. That's.
I was going to say, if it's a lot, that.
Maybe if it's those special fire ants. Maybe, you know, I'm just trying to be objective, you know.
Yeah.
I think they're colloquially referred to as spicy boys.
Yes.
That's the
name.
We would have to be a million spicy boys for me to be afraid.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. Oh, and here was the variable that we introduced when we asked the question last time, for which the guest in question chose bees. Or, no, it was wasps, wasn't it? What was it, Joe?
Yeah, I think it was wasps.
So let's say that it was a zombie army of animals.
Mm.
Which would you choose?
Man, I'm so tempted to go for comedy here and pick something
ridiculous. Oh, please do go for comedy.
It is a comedy
show. I
mean,
I would want it to be like an army of like zombie ducks, like something ridiculous.
That's so good. Zombie ducks. I love that answer.
Like, just like a normal mallard duck that goes quack.
Yeah, but zombie.
That's so funny. I'm going to see if I can find a picture of that to satisfy my my thirst for a zombie duck picture right now.
By the way, when you said, like, oh, I really want to go for comedy here, that's like a guiding principle of the show. Please indulge us with that at any time. That's one of our...
I'm very much happy to.
Yeah. One of the first rules on our show that we created was the idea of comedy over logic. Like, if it's funny, it doesn't have to make sense. Joe has contributed a picture of
a zombie duck.
Daffy Duck, which...
Donald Duck?
Looks... Oh, yes,
Donald
Duck.
Did you say Daffy Duck? You're thinking
of
Warner Brothers.
Yeah, it
is a
picture of Donald Duck. Well, I couldn't tell because I can't see if he's not wearing pants, Joe.
Well, he is a zombie, too, so he looks a little different. He's worse for the wear, but he's still...
Do you think zombie Donald Duck wears pants?
No, if he doesn't wear pants when he's regular, he doesn't put them on when he's a zombie.
Okay. That's where this episode is right now. Okay. Should we move on from the hypothetical and get back on to... the damsels and dice track, Joe, or
sure,
what do you want to do?
Yeah, how did you start that? How did you get started?
How did this whole project in particular, not just like the whole D&D, but this particular project come together?
Well, I realized that most of my friend group was either professional Dungeons & Dragons players or professional Disney princesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to work with my friends, and I realized that that would be a hilarious matchup, and I really, really wanted to make it, and I checked to see if anyone else already had, and they hadn't, and then I had this burning desire to do it before anyone else could.
Okay.
So I posted on Facebook, if I did a Disney D&D mashup, would anyone want to do it with me? And there were like 40 or 50 responses almost immediately.
Wow.
And then I was like, oh, it's on Facebook. I have to do it now.
Yeah.
So what did
you already committed to it?
What did you do? Give like each of those people a role, or you just like filtered them further?
I straight up said, "Okay, everybody, pick a princess," and it kind of exploded from there. After a while, my producers told me I had to start cutting cast members because it's already a really big group.
Yeah, I can't imagine 30 or 40 people sitting around a table trying to organize the chaos there.
No,
seems like it'd be physically impossible.
What episode are you on now?
Hmm?
What episode?
Episode 2?
Yes, yeah. we just released the pilot on the 1st of January, and it got pretty popular pretty quickly, So we have an Indiegogo going to, which we've hit the goal for it. So now we're in stretch goals.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really exciting.
Speaking of which, how many weeks do you think it'll be until this tops Critical Role?
No, never. We're a different show. They're the OG. They've found that sweet spot. I don't think, and I don't intend to beat Critical Role. They're wonderful people.
Oh, so this is not a personal vendetta against them? Okay.
No, I actually really them, so that would be...
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of people on there specifically that we want to get on the show at some point as a guest.
Danny Carr has expressed on social media that she wants to join us, and I am going to message her the same thing I messaged everybody else, is pick a princess.
When you say princess, you're talking specifically Disney, or...?
Yeah, at the moment, it's all based off of parodied Disney princess inspired characters, but we get like a little loose. We've got Leia. Yeah.
What if you had like who is your favorite star, like the absolute person who would be such a dream to have on the show?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
And why is it Laura Bailey?
I mean, Laura's invited. Everyone's invited.
What if Laura wanted to be on, but she wanted to play like Princess Diana? Or, like, not a Disney princess.
That would be She's hilarious, like, actually, though.
That'd probably be funny.
That would be super funny.
What if she wanted to be on and she wanted to be Princess Leia? Would you allow...
There's already a Leia, Joe.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Well, it's a parody Leia. It's not... It's a fair use Leia. It's
because
not,
I was going to ask if you consider Leia a Disney princess, because Disney now owns Star Wars.
Thanks for watching the pilot, Joe.
I watched the pilot. I guess I forgot the character. All right. I guess you have a Leia in there.
The one that I was actually bummed that I missed because the script was finished like a week before the movie came out is Shuri.
Yeah. I'm assuming how many episodes actually, like, you plan to do? I think I remember hearing 8 or something
so
for a season.
Or we have 7 episodes, including the pilot, written.
Okay, and is that for just like a season of it, or is that
season
for
essentially?
Okay, and approximately, assuming that this keeps going well, what are we looking at here in terms of like number of seasons, and just as long as it's fun, or just do you have like an idea?
Honestly, yeah, as long as it's fun. I definitely think that I have at least enough material for 2 seasons, and then if we, you know, are continuing to be successful and fun, and it's affordable enough for us to make... Season 3 would probably be when things might change. Maybe different kinds of characters could be introduced. We're kind of taking it, you know, one episode at a time right now because we really weren't sure how it was going to be received.
What if Disney wanted this on the Disney Channel?
It's actually why I have an entertainment lawyer, because best case scenario, they want to buy it from us and we get to keep as many people on the original team as we can, you know?
That'd be cool.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
By the way, just to throw an idea out here, take it or leave it, if you guys get bored of the princesses, you could always do like a gender-bended princes thing, like where all of you take on like a different prince.
Do princesses, but have it be all drag queens.
sure.
We really want to have some kind of cut to where, you know, the princesses are doing Dungeons & Dragons stuff, and then they're like, I wonder what the boys are up to, and then the boys are like at a spa with like face masks, getting mani-pedis, like doing something else unexpected for a group of Disney princes to do together.
I think if you did that lightly, it would work pretty well.
Yeah, that's the only thing right now that I have where the princes are included, where boys are included at all. But we'll see how it goes.
When I said princes, by the way, like I meant like that it would be the like the women dressing
still
up.
Still the
that.
Same
like,
cast, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't like trying to be like, well, what about the men? Like,
oh, no,
you know,
no, no,
like,
I didn't.
Yeah, that's not a game.
That would be very inclusive.
Well, I mean, I guess, but I don't think that's the point. So I saw on your Indiegogo that you kind of have your costs laid out, and I was looking at it and I was like, I've never really done a show before. I noticed that a lot of it seemed like, oh, wow, this is pretty expensive. But then I realized, like, if I translated basically the value of my time now as an editor and a host, you know, $350 for editing doesn't really seem like that much, actually.
It's not that much, yeah.
So how did you guys kind of get people actually interested in this on Indiegogo? Because there's like a billion projects at any time for that. How do you catch someone's eye?
We were lucky enough to be featured on their arts and film section for a while, which I'm sure helped a lot. And then it's just kind of sharing it on social media, telling people about it, hoping that the perks we chose were enough to get people interested. It's really a social media game. And then nothing really hit for the Indiegogo until we released the pilot. And having the Indiegogo in the description of the pilot, when people saw what we were capable of and the fact that there might be more, people started getting hungry for it after seeing what we already had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we got the attention, really.
You gave them an appetizer, and now they're ready for the main course. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, just kind of what kind of things do you offer as perks for people who might be interested?
Depending on the perk, I mean, we start with, like, you know, signed photos, but we also do, you know, we'll mail you a set of dice or a signed character sheet modeled after your favorite character. We can, like, show you the kind of character you'll get, or a parody song sung by one of your favorite princesses, or a personalized video, or, you know, that you get into the higher tiers and it's a set visit, or I will personally DM a one shot for you and your friends.
If people are listening to this and they want to check it out, there's some bonuses if you want to help support them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I noticed one of the tiers is called Royal Dinglehopper. That's a very amusing set of words. I appreciate that. Joe, you said that you watched the pilot, but just to confirm, you obviously didn't, right?
No, I did. It's just been a couple of weeks. I watched it when we first scheduled you to come on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Really? I'm not actually offended. It was just funny.
No, I know. I think Lars was really offended.
It's fair. Thank you for being offended on my behalf, Lars.
Well, someone has to.
Well, we shouldn't be encouraging it. Lars is actually quite sensitive, and we're trying to...
The irony here is that I'm really not. Like, that's actually, like, a complete reversal of the roles on this show.
By the way, I just wanted to point out that I use Mint Mobile.
Joe, this is my ad read. It's written for me, but, I mean, feel free.
No, I'm looking right. No.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm a customer. You're not. And I highly recommend them. Most affordable wireless I've ever had.
I is in Lars, obviously.
I'm the one reading this, okay. So it's okay, Joe. Okay, Joe. They were seriously about 75% cheaper.
It's very clear
than
that
the
you're reading this, by the
I
way.
Used.
Like, it sounds like you're reading words specifically.
I'm saying what's on my mind,
okay.
Lars.
Okay. Okay.
I've recommended them to friends and family before.
No.
And now that we're an affiliate,
God.
I'm going to recommend them to you, the listener.
That's the only thing that's true in all of this, by the way.
Mint.t1podcast.com. Thank me later.
Thank me later. Yeah, mint.t1podcast.com. All of that is actually true. I highly recommend you check it out. Joe, I tossed the hypothetical at your... I can't... I tossed a hypothetical at her. Do you want to toss one at her as well?
Absolutely. You ready for another hypothetical, Kaylee?
Sure.
I mean, if no matter what you had said, I mean, he would still be asking.
I don't think I have a choice.
Well, yeah. No, you do. I mean, you could just refuse to answer it. Like, but no. Here's one that I have in mind. If you could have any useless superpower, and this is one of my favorite questions to ask people.
It's a great one.
If you can have any useless superpower, which is, let's say, a superpower that is something paranormal or, you know, out of the ordinary, so to speak.
Just a bit weird.
But it can't help you too much.
It can only barely help you, like in a way that you may not even want.
Would you like... an example?
Okay.
Sure. I'm curious to see what your examples would be.
Let's say the ability to go back in time, but only 1 second, and you can't go forward in time, so you can't, like, fix it. You can only go back 1 second and keep going back, like, let's say 1 second per day.
I actually like that superpower.
That's actually marginally useful, like, if you just really, like, royally mess up or something.
And it was like the difference of like hitting send on the wrong email or like dropping something.
Or you make like a huge, you go gambling, you make a huge bet, and if it doesn't pay out.
Yeah, you'd have one chance to fix it, I guess.
You undo it. Unless you miss your 1 second window and you waited like 2 seconds by accident and you go back and you're like, oh, I missed it. And like you're stuck with
it. Yeah, so it's kind of volatile. That 1 second time frame, it's like you have to think real fast. So it's kind of useless at that point. Also, some of them are a little bit more basic, like, as an ability, like, instant hair loss. like you go bald. It can be stuff like that too. It doesn't have to be like a super.
Yeah, or like the ability to dispense like ketchup out of your like little finger. Yeah. Why? Just you'll never go hungry for ketchup again, but you have
who
to
cares?
Dispense it. Yeah. So
what's your useless superpower?
Useless superpower.
Answer as if your life depended on it.
Always. As if your life depended.
Always. I think I would just change the color of my eyes whenever I wanted.
Is that That's cheating? Because it's kind of useful as an actress in a way that's not marginal necessarily.
You can have blue eyes one second, you can have brown eyes the next. You can already do that with contacts.
Color contacts are uncomfortable.
Like the ability to like inherently do it as opposed to just going to the store and buying the contacts.
You're basically talking about the ability to make it look like you're wearing contacts without having to put them on.
So it saves you about 10 minutes.
That's useful, but it's not that useful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not really that useful, but anyone who's had to wear circle lenses for more than 8 hours would much rather have been able to have that skill.
Would you say that for those people, it's very useful?
It just saves pain and suffering.
That sounds almost too useful. Saving pain and suffering sounds like it's
kind of useful.
It sounds like it's too useful for this example. I'm sorry to do this, but you have to come up with a new example.
New example.
Yeah, that was too useful.
Go ahead.
Let me think, as if my life depended on it.
Now you're getting it.
Always. I don't know. I thought that was a really good one. Now I'm stumped.
No, that was a good one. It was just a technicality. We're so sorry.
Rude.
The disqualification process is very strict. I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do.
You know, I understand. Rules are rules.
It was really like the one rule. Like, it can't be too... It could be anything. It just can't be too useful.
Yeah.
It's really just like the one... The one thing. And again, we're really, really sorry to make you have to do this.
Well, do you need some time to think or should we move on?
Yeah, you don't really have to come up with another one if you don't want to.
I can't think of anything else now. I'm on the spot. I was so proud of my...
Here's another useless... No, that was good. You should be proud. We were just messing with you. By
no,
like...
that's great. But no, I think I just need more inspiration. I need another... not ketchup one.
Here's another one, like the ability to breathe while completely submerged under burning hot lava.
Yeah, I see how that would be, because you're still useless. Burning, right? I assume.
Completely
useless.
Well,
you're not even burning, you're just melting. Like, you're disintegrating. Like, it's just...
For the one-tenth of a second.
I feel like I wouldn't want to breathe. I don't even know if there's any... So, it has to be not desirable at all. But still, a superpower.
Yeah, that
if
would
you're
be
really
best.
Lucky, by the way, and you also happen to have the ability to survive in lava, that could be combined with something and to make it fairly useful. But that's assuming that you're like extremely lucky to have both of these at once. So that's like the one case in which it is useful. It's a mostly very useless power.
What about the ability to make yourself go blind permanently?
I feel like this is changing from the premise that I thought it was to just like. Things that'll just really, really screw you over, as opposed to things that are just like not actually that
that's
helpful.
It doesn't screw you over to be able to do it. You can always choose not to do it, but that's what makes it useless.
It's because you can go blind on the moment's notice. You don't have to.
Yeah,
but then are you permanently blind, or can you shut it back on or turn it back
on? No, you are.
That's still pretty useless, even if you can turn it back on. Like.
There's always those moments of like, wow, I can't unsee that, but I could have not seen it.
Well, yeah, if you have that 1 second rewind power.
What about the ability to put on weight extremely rapidly, and it's still like just as hard to like to lose it?
I feel like I have that superpower.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people have that.
No, just like times 100, like instantly ballooning into a giant. You picture Violet from Willy Wonka. Did you see the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Oh, yeah.
You know how Violet turns into, like, a giant beach ball?
A globe.
No, that's Augustus Gloop, Joe.
Imagine being able to do that just whenever you want, but you can't go back to normal. You have to lose the weight.
That's so unuseful.
That's pretty useless.
Yeah. So, like, we can move on if you want.
Oh, yeah. I haven't picked anything yet. I was, what about being able to... imitate a zebra exactly.
Like in terms of voice?
What if you're in a field with zebras and you have to communicate with them?
But you can't communicate with them, you can just imitate them.
Oh, so they don't understand, like,
they don't understand you, you don't understand them. You can just sound exactly like a zebra, which it if you're sounds... in a group of zebras, you'll get killed by a lion, and that won't be useful at all.
What if the power was that you could imitate a zebra, but they would find it, like, offensive? Like, they would think you were mocking it? That would be kind of useless.
And then once you do imitate a zebra, that's the only way you can make noise for the rest of your life.
By the way, what do they sound? Do they just sound like horses?
No, they sound really dumb.
Can you do an impression?
I knew that was coming. Now I'm worried that I'm thinking. I think they're like.
Can you do that one more time?
No, that's it.
Can you do any other impressions?
No, I'm not an impressionist. That's the one failing of my voiceover career.
Well, impressionism is a difficult style of painting, Joe. You can't expect her to.
No, I know. I actually am an impressionist, but it's the painting one. I'm a painting impressionist. So
that's very useful for podcasting.
Yeah, you'll just have to take my word on that.
Yeah, that's his superpower is the ability to do good impressionist paintings that he can't show on the podcast because it's audio. I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
So, ideally, let's say 3 or maybe like 5 years, somewhere 3 to 5 years from now, would you want to still be going with this? And what do you have any like grand plans for it? Or is this just something where you're passionate about it and this is what you're doing?
As far as grand plans, personally, I feel like I'm doing it. I would like to reach as many people as possible and maybe not be as nervous about who's going to see it. As far as making sure that I'm not afraid we're going to get taken off the internet at any moment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because that's always, when you make a parody, especially a Disney parody, that's always going to be a concern. But
we actually had another guest who had an extremely similar concern about, not his concern, but somebody, it was a project that he worked on for Star Wars.
A Vader fan film. But the difference there is that it's not parody, and parody is very well protected in fair use. So
for copyright, but not for trademark. I'm learning things. I've learned a lot making this.
Oh yeah, don't use the trademarks of popular Disney characters and franchises for sure. I mean, that's something that people should avoid.
What I'm learning doing this project, I had an idea of it in my brain, but didn't really realize that that was what we were doing, is introducing a bunch of little girls to Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And making it acceptable for them, and making it cool to be a nerd and be interested in that kind of material, making it acceptable to be interested in that kind of material. We've gotten a lot of messages from parents saying, thank you so much for making this thing. My daughter is running around her school telling all of her friends, see, the princesses do it, and making them so much more confident in the things that they like. And so the more people we can reach in that way, I mean, it makes me incredibly happy. That's really the ultimate goal, is make it, you know, cool for girls, for anyone to be interested in whatever they want, but especially in the nerd community, no matter how traditionally feminine or masculine or whatever that you are, to have a seat at the table.
That's a really good goal.
Yeah, that's laudable.
Yeah.
That's wholesome.
I kind of have a follow-up question, or like sort of related. You know how in recent years, nerd culture has sort of become more prevalent?
Yeah.
Do you think that has mostly been for males and not females as much? And I don't want to say men and women, because I don't want to do I don't want to isolate it to an age group. But just like, do you think it's more for boys than girls that it's cool to be nerdy, or with D&D specifically?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, in the age of like Gamergate and Me Too and all of these other things where women are speaking up more about being excluded or harmed some way in male dominated industries, I think that Dungeons and Dragons specifically has been really inclusive. And I think that that's probably one of the reasons why I love the community so much. I know a lot of people who tell me stories growing up of, well, the people playing Dungeons and Dragons said I was a girl and I wasn't allowed to play.
By Gamergate, by the way, you mean the video game controversy and not the worker ant?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. But I think all of these personalities, these nerd personalities, Felicia Day or Satine Phoenix or all of these Geek and Sundry Dungeons and Dragons people who are so visible, I think that they've proven that this resurgence of of the nerd culture, whatever, it is for everyone. So there might be some backlash from people who didn't want it to be for everyone, mm-hmm. but I think that the trend has been that it is. It's here. It's always been here. We're happy that it's acceptable for us to engage with the culture now.
That's really good. I'm happy that more people who enjoy nerd culture. I love nerd culture. I think it's good to be, celebrating your intelligence and whatnot and accomplishments and, academia or what have you, whatever it means to be a nerd. What is the easiest place to find Damsel's Dice and Everything Nice? What is there like a simple link that the listeners can go to, or should they just go to YouTube and search for it?
I believe on YouTube we're just Damsel's Dice and Everything Nice. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We're Dice and Nice on Twitter and Instagram. We have a website, our website is diceandeverythingnice.com. That's probably the easiest way to get all of the information at once is the website. Mm-hmm.
Diceandeverythingnice.com.
Yeah.
So your name, by the way, there's a real shot in the dark here, but that's like a play on sugar, spice, and everything nice, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. It took me a while to crack that code, but yeah.
I mean, I got that like almost instantly.
Yeah, same here. That was just a joke. We can move on from that. That's fine. Joe, do you have anything else you want to go over? Or?
I was curious. Do you travel a lot? Do you get to travel?
Sometimes.
Do you have like a favorite luggage that you like to, that you use, or you just like, do you like a
Delsey? I have a carry-on that I have had since I moved into Juilliard that it's like a wheeled duffel bag that I bought from Bed Bath & Beyond on a whim.
That's
and it
cool.
is the most inconvenient, worst piece of luggage ever, but it's the only one that I have.
Why don't you get a new one?
Every time I think about it, I spend the money on something else.
You should just go to like Goodwill and just get like a hard case. Or
I really should. And I still
probably not Goodwill. Those are going to be like old worn out ones. I don't know.
Because I don't think about it until I need to go to the airport and this is the only bag I have. Oops.
That's the thing. Like every time I travel, I'm like, oh, I wish I had this or that. But then you don't think about it until the next time you travel. Like really the only time I buy stuff like that is while I'm traveling. Yeah. If I need like a battery pack or like. Anyway, we just like to ask all of our guests
Joe does. that's Joe's. Joe works at, he's a bellhop. And
I like to focus a little bit just for like a brief moment with each guest on like their luggage, because it irritates Lars. He thinks it's very dry.
It is incredibly dry material to talk about luggage. It's also, I'm getting kind of concerned that Joe's interest in luggage may not be completely pure. Like the way he talks about it sounds like the way that he would like someone else would like describe a beautiful woman. It's kind
of. Excuse me, Lars, have you seen some of these luggage bags?
It's just a little.
Do you guys need a minute?
I think Joe does.
No.
It's just something a little off about the way he talks about it. That's like.
Anyway, let's move on. Lars, would you like to discuss the links for the podcast?
Oh, are we kind of closing things down? Because, yes, we can.
I don't know. I mean, I figured it was a good time because Kaylee gave her links. So, while people have their phones out or whatever.
Well, you kind of shot your wad prematurely by asking that like 30 minutes in. But yeah, that's fine. We can close up unless there's anything else you want to get to, Kaylee.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Kaylee Bray, and this was T1 Podcast. Is that what we've decided it is?
No, that's just our URLs.
Don't tell her.
It is the first podcast.
No, she's supposed to know.
Someone is supposed to tell me.
Well, at least she knows our names. Not
our what are our names, by the way?
Lars and Joe?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this another test? Like my life depends on it?
All of this has been a test as if your life depended on it.
Always as if your life depended on it. No. But it's funny. Sometimes guests will come on our podcast and like not know our names.
I don't know what podcast I'm on, but I know who you
One
are.
One of them called you John once. That was funny.
Yeah.
I can say the links again too and really confuse people.
Go for it.
He's ridiculous. And to the audience, if you're listening, Lars is, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Sometimes we break the fourth wall just for no reason.
By the way, like, feel free to shout your stuff out again. I mean, it's a second chance for people to check it out.
Yeah, sure. To the listener, if you're listening, go on Instagram, go on YouTube, and click the link. Just type it in.
Just type just T1
do
Podcast.
Us this favor.
Oh, wait, no.
T1 Podcast.
No, yeah, look up Damsel's Dice, Everything Nice.
Yeah, if you Google us, we're really easy to find. We're the only...
Yeah.
thing named Damsel's Dice and Everything Nice. I made sure. Geek and Sundry wrote articles about us. We're on comicbook.com. Mm. And you can see all of our stuff on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Indiegogo, and on our website.
And if you Google us, it's a little bit more difficult because when you Google the first podcast, it also talks about like, oh, what was the first podcast? Like articles on it and stuff. Like
literally the first thing that comes up.
So it's kind of unfortunate. We've cracked into the results at this point a bit. But yeah, if you want to find us on pretty much everywhere, a good place to start is t1podcast.com. That's got all of our links. You can listen to the show from there.
On Instagram, we're at T1Podcast. Twitter is T1Podcast. Go on Twitter and follow us. We need more Twiddle followers.
We need to get more social media followers, too. I think I'm going to have to start giving things away.
Okay.
That's a good way to do it. And then have them, like, hashtag you and stuff.
We should give things away as well, Joe.
Mm. We should. We should have, like, stickers made. People like stickers.
They do? I mean, is that still...
And skateboards.
Okay.
We'll give out stickers and skateboards.
Well, let's not give out... The skateboard sounds like it'd be kind of, like, expensive, but, you know.
Yeah, it like a
really
hundred...
Sounds really hard like, to mail
a skateboard. Good ones, like Sector 9, but we can only give them to people, like, in our area.
That's fair.
Or people in Ireland, because we...
Only people who can skate to you.
That's true.
Only people we can skate to them.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we should do something for our Ireland listeners, though, because they've been troopers.
Maybe an umbrella?
We have a weirdly amount of... I said that weird. We have a weirdly high amount of people who listen from Ireland. Like
we have an Irish contingent of our fans too. I wonder if they're the same people.
I wonder if there's any. Overlay.
I bet there's going to be some crossover after this. Like
there's got to be, right?
Like I can't do an Irish accent, but they're like, I got to check out. I don't know.
Check out the T1 podcast.
By the way, for some strange reason in Ireland, we're called the McFinnigan podcast. I don't know why that is. It's supposed to be the first podcast.
It's like how you go to McDonald's and you order a breakfast biscuit in Ireland and they call it the McFinnigan and cheese.
I don't think they call it a breakfast biscuit here, though.
You know, just... Can you tell I don't eat a McDonald's breakfast very often?
Clearly.
What is it, a McBiscuit on rye?
Nope. Well,
still
that's
no.
It. That's the one.
McBiscuit on rye.
Yeah.